strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show on this Friday. Big news of the morning. All three of the major state universities in Arizona are complying with the mask mandate. I read to you from U of A's earlier today that all workers, all university employees, including student workers, graduate assistants, associates, must upload vaccine documentation by December 8th, 2021, showing they are fully vaccinated. ASU put out a statement. ASU receives hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding through grants and contracts every year. Continued receipt of these funds is essential to ASU's mission. Under the recent executive order issued by President Biden requiring all employees or federal contractors to receive COVID-19 vaccinations, ASU is required to ensure that every university employee by December 8th either show proof that they were vaccinated or request an accommodation or medical and religious grounds. And finally, a part of what they wrote, this is from Josh Mackey, the vice president, and Jose Luis Cruz Rivera, the president of Northern Arizona University. To ensure compliance, all employees must upload vaccine documentation by December 8th, showing they are fully vaccinated. Once again, I'm going to give you the president of the United States, the vice president of the United States, the speaker of the House, Dr. Fauci, and the White House spokeswoman all this year talking about this very thing.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable.
No.
All right. So far, Nancy Pelosi says it's something we can't do. The vice president of the United States says that it's not negotiable, not what we're going to do. And so we continue.
Definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
So far, Dr. Fauci said you can't do it. We have never done it. Here's the press secretary.
This is very simple from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
So far, every single one of those people said has either said it's unenforceable and inappropriate and can't be done in that way. Or you've got the Speaker of the House and the Vice President of the United States saying that they can't do it, that the federal government does not have the authority or the ability to enforce a mandate, that it's a matter of privacy to know if somebody has been vaccinated. That's what Nancy Pelosi said. The Vice President of the United States talks specifically about women. Their right to choose is non-negotiable. This was all earlier this year. And look where we are with vaccine mandates. They're not done.
The federal government should step in and issue mandates. And if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government.
No.
All right. So before we get to the president to finish it, the spokeswoman for the White House said it's not the role of the federal government. I want to know what changed. They are 180 degrees in the other direction now. More. We'll finish. This is the last comment from the president.
I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it be mandatory.
I wouldn't demand that it be mandatory. And here we are. The three state universities in Arizona where employees are having to choose between their livelihoods and compliance with a mask mandate and issuing proof that they've been vaccinated. So for everyone out there that's going to push back on social media against me and talk about the other vaccines that we mandate and all these other things that happen, I want you to focus on what I just played for you. It wasn't one person, one time. It was the theme from this administration. From the White House, it was the president, the vice president, the spokeswoman for the White House, and the lead voice on this virus and Dr. Fauci. And then you've got Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. All of those people in consensus multiple times over this year have said it's not the role of the federal government. It can't be done. We can't do that. We won't do that. It's not negotiable. And now here we are. in order for the hundreds of millions of dollars, I would say billions of dollars that come into the state of Arizona in federal contracts, you are forcing employees at the state universities to comply with a vaccine mandate. Now, I will say this. You have put, and I don't know if being put on the spot, they would agree or disagree. I would love, and I'm going to reach out to Dr. Crow at ASU because I know him a little bit. I want to find out if they agree. Or are they stuck saying we either go decades backwards in our growth and we get rid of billions of dollars that come into our universities, hundreds of millions for sure. Either we do that or we've got to tell our employees they have to be vaccinated. Every single one of these presidents has cited the mandates from the federal government. This isn't a private sector employer saying, I want all my employees vaccinated. This is the federal government holding your tax dollars, because you pay federal taxes, over the heads of our state universities to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars for compliance. And it doesn't matter to me where you stand on vaccines. I'm fully vaccinated. I'll say it 100 times probably, if you're sick of hearing it. I am fully vaccinated. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. These mandates go too far. This is an overreach by the federal government. It is an overreach. And if it doesn't stop, you've already seen the fallout. We're going to let you hear it a little bit later on. But we had earlier on the show, we had a firefighter on who worked in the Salt River, at the Salt River community, Salt River Pima Indian tribe, their Indian community. He had been a firefighter out there for a very long time. He started 3 years. He was trying to get on as a firefighter, spent his entire career. He's 38 years old. He spent half of his life trying to become a firefighter and working in that community. He lost his job because he wouldn't get a vaccine. It went against his belief. They wouldn't accept his religious or whatever, an exemption. That's where we are in America. And long after COVID-19 is a distant memory as far as this pandemic goes. And I've used this analogy way too much, but we'll talk about it again for those of you that are old enough to remember what America was like. I'm sure the rest of the world, but what America was like during the AIDS epidemic, when HIV was such a big deal. Remember the paranoia. Remember the it's what we talked about. It was in front of everyone. It was something that everybody was discussing. Do we remember those days very much? Do we remember the days of the full chemical suits at crime scenes and the different way that emergency rooms? We don't remember any of that. We don't remember what we remember is the way we treated each other. What I remember about that time was when it was found out who the people were at the highest risk, how we suggested that they protect themselves, how we gave out free needles to people that were intravenous drug users. That's what we remember. And that's what we remember about COVID-19. The biggest news stories of the day, and this one's going to be tough because there have been so many headlines today. You've missed a big news day. Well, on your way to lunch, we're going to get you caught up with Did You Hear This? That's going to happen here in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Man, this is like a Monday, not a Friday for news. It's been crazy. So I'm as anxious as you to find out what Jeremy's come up with. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Oh, yeah. And a flurry of breaking COVID-related news over the past 30, 45 minutes, Mike, as ASU, UArizona, and NAU all announced employees must be vaccinated while on campus. This appears to conflict with what Governor Ducey said yesterday.
There's no vaccine mandates in the state of Arizona, and there aren't going to be vaccine mandates.
Yeah, and the school cited President Biden's vaccine mandates for employers with 100 or more workers as their reason for issuing this. So my question to you, do you think a mandate for students is also coming?
I think, you know, I don't know that it's coming for students. I think that what's happening, what's been very clear in these statements, is that they are saying, they are citing Joe Biden. They are trying to get away from the controversy that, you know, they have been put in between a rock and a hard place. And I believe that sincerely, that, you know, they don't want to be on the wrong side of the governor. And they definitely don't want to be on the wrong side of the president, where they're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars. So I think they're saying, hey, listen, we've been told by the federal government we're going to lose federal dollars. So we're doing this because we're going to lose federal dollars. Let's wait and see if the employees fight back with a legal fight. If they do that, that also may be a way out for the universities. But it's all going to depend on who pushes back and when.
And sticking with the mandate theme, earlier this morning, you spoke to Daniel Schulke, who until a couple of weeks ago was a 16-plus year firefighter with the Salt River Fire Department, until he and several of his colleagues decided not to get vaccinated. He told us this morning he's concerned about his now former colleagues who are being stretched pretty thin.
They'll hold someone on an extra day to make sure that the trucks are staffed. So, I mean, it's very taxing for the whole organization because it has lasting effects for the firefighters that are still there.
Based on what he told us, is the Salt River Fire Department making things more dangerous for firefighters by not keeping people on the job who refuse to get the jab?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because tribal land, obviously sovereign nations, and I'm out there quite a bit, and I know a lot of the police officers out there, and it's a great community. I mean, it's a very good community, but the tribe has been very strict with its employees. They've been strict with their rules at Talking Stick and at Casino Arizona, so this kind of falls in line with how they behaved before. I do think that it's making people less safe, and I think it depends on how many people they lose if there's any wavering in this position, because I don't think they want that. I think what they're looking for is the ultimate safety, but I just think they're going about it the wrong way. You're listening to Did You Hear This? It's been a very, very busy news day with a lot of different headlines, and we're trying to catch you up on all of them. What's next, Jeremy?
Yeah, the TSA found 4,095 guns at airport security checkpoints in nearly 250 different airports so far this year. Patricia Manches with Arizona TSA, she says Sky Harbor ranks fourth for the highest amount.
They have found 155 handguns in checkpoints at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. That's 155 too many.
Now, the number one excuse given for people who find have their guns discovered in their bags is, I forgot it was in there. Do you buy that?
Yes, I absolutely buy it. I have had a situation with a pocket knife. Where, you know, I always carry a pocket knife, always have. Well, I ended up having to throw a pocket knife in the trash can because it was in my pocket and I was getting ready to walk through security. So I can understand where, you know, if you have a piece of gear that you carry a firearm in, that naturally when you just grab that piece of gear, if it's a backpack, I would imagine you're not going to pack something accidentally in your luggage. But if it's something you carry every day, like a backpack or a satchel, I think it's pretty easy to forget it's in there. And I think that's what's happening.
All right, another breaking news story this morning. We talked about the Arizona Cardinals trading for Philadelphia Eagles All-Pro tight end Zach Ertz. Now, Ertz played in last night's game with the Eagles, so he will not be available to play for the Cardinals this Sunday. Now, both Ertz and his wife grew up on the West Coast, so you'd think he might be pretty excited about coming back west to play for a really good football team. But when asked about that this morning...
This is home. Philadelphia is home. And that was tough, just to kind of articulate that to people, that I love this place.
Based on that response, do you think he's excited to be a Cardinal?
I think he will be. I think when you get a guy like that in the locker room, when you have an opportunity to play in an offense like this with the receivers that are there, and now how this offense is using the tight end in such a role, I think that he is going to love it here. I think it's a great place to live. When you're in the same locker room with a Chandler Jones and a J.J. Watt, even though they're defensive players, this is a very good team that's got a great chance of making a run in the playoffs, and Philadelphia wasn't going to give him that. If you're a professional athlete, being given an opportunity to be in a powerhouse offense and at the same time make a run in the playoffs, how could you not love it? And I think he's going to love Arizona, so I'm looking forward to him coming here. should be a lot of fun watching that edition. I feel bad for Max Williams. I feel bad for Mad Max because he was becoming a superstar on this team. He was a frequent target from Kyler Murray, and he was doing a great job blocking, but he was catching more balls, and he was becoming one of those people that the fans wanted to see be successful. So I hope he's able to come back from that injury soon. But in the meantime, good for the Cardinals picking up a really solid tight end. I think that's terrific. What we're going to do coming up in a moment, we were talking about a failing test scores for students, what's going on in the country, but we're also got to talk more about these vaccine mandates and a big reminder coming up about the barbecue for a fallen deputy. So we got a lot of things coming up here on the show. I hope you'll stick around for them.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. We're going to get to the big updates, the big announcements from the major universities here, the state universities here in Arizona, all saying they're going to comply with the vaccine mandate from the White House. That's coming up here before we close it out. And a reminder of the barbecue for the family of fallen deputy Ruiz. We're going to talk more about that in a few moments. But their test scores are falling for the first time in the history of recording these standardized testing scores for students. And this is students that are 13 years of age. And this is where my problem lies with the inequity in how we hold people accountable. And I guess I should have before when I talked about this, given the caveat that I always do, but I'm going to give it now. I think more about education now than I ever did in my life. All I ever wanted to do in high school was grow up. I didn't want to be a kid anymore. I wanted to work, and that's all I wanted to do. I gave up sports. I was a good athlete when I was much younger. I didn't play much. I was a wrestler in high school, and outside of AAU wrestling and some high school wrestling, I didn't play sports. And I was a really good athlete when I was younger. I then became a coach for my younger brother, and my dad was gone, so I coached my brother's teams. And that was my athletics release was coaching young kids. I just wanted to grow up, and I didn't consider education useful. Looking back, had it not been for my basic education as a very young man, which gave me my ability to learn, when I wanted to learn, I would have been stuck. And I want you to think about the difference there. It's not about intelligence, because a lot of us have intelligence, but it is about education and a basic education. And the foundation in education comes from your elementary school teachers. It comes from the teachers that teach you to read and to write and to do basic math. And they give you the ability to learn everything else. When the freedom that comes from being able to read and comprehend, the fact that I am not formally educated, I barely have a high school diploma, but I can write a sentence. I mean, I have a ghostwriter. She wrote the book, but I can write a paper, which I have. The ability to do that is what gives you your ability to do everything else. So the reason why I am so compelled by this is because education is so important. And there are so many educators that I respect. And I would say the vast majority, even educators I haven't met, I do not have the mindset that there is that educators, for the most part, are horrible people and not good at their jobs. I don't believe that. I believe just the opposite. But education has become such an industry. There is so much money in it. There is so much of the cancel culture and the political correctness that has invaded it. When you look at what the NEA and the AFT, the two of the major teachers unions have done with education. And you go and look, and if you don't think that it's about money, go and look what their leadership structure gets paid. Go and look at the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that they get paid to be the heads of those unions. And then look at the billions of dollars that they donate to political causes. Not funneling money, not raising money to put it into the classroom. They will say they spend billions, so the government spends billions. But the influence that they've had on COVID-19, the influence they had on keeping classrooms shut down for as long as they were closed down. And we're paying a price for that. I will tell you that there are also labor unions associated with public safety. firefighters unions and police unions across this country. Isn't it fascinating to think about this? The Chicago Area Teachers Associations wanted their unions wanted to keep the classrooms closed, 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 closed. Keep them closed, keep them closed, keep them closed. Negotiate of what we're going to do to get back in the classroom. Chicago PD never stopped. They never missed one call for service in the midst of a huge increase in violent crimes, murders especially. And not only that, the head of the Chicago Police Officers Union is encouraging his officers not to get the shot with the mandate. They may lose 50% of their cops in Chicago, but they're not complying with the mandate. You look at what the teachers unions have done. So we call a rise in crime unacceptable. We look at this and we say we have to do a better job with fighting crime. Firefighters saw a huge uptick nationally, but also here in Arizona in COVID-19 cases. They never said we don't want to go to work. They never said we don't want to jump in a fire truck or an ambulance and go to a call for service because of COVID-19. We don't want to interact with people at a scene. So you go to a scene of a major car crash or even a minor car crash, and you're dealing with people that maybe aren't masked or can't be masked. You're in close proximity. Did they ever say they didn't want to go? They went. The teachers' organizations and unions refused to go back into the classroom. They're still doing it. There is still this mask mandate fight. They are still talking privately about walkouts and strikes. They've been doing it since before the school year. And the kids are suffering. So the teacher organizations, when you think, and I want you to be fair about the mindset, cops and firefighters never complained about their job and the dangers of it. They went to work. There was mitigation protocol as best they could. Police agencies reduced the number of people they were putting in jail so that the chances of COVID-19 entering the jails were lessened by giving people subpoenas or to go to court as opposed to locking them up and waiting to having them see a judge. So there were some changes made. Obviously, protocols and wearing masks and things of that nature, they did that for the employees. But they never stopped dealing with the general public. And no one said, you have to wear a mask in the general public because you're going to come in contact with a police officer or a firefighter and you need to protect them. But we're masking kids in schools. We're separating them by 6 feet. They have to wear their masks at their desks. The teachers, still some of them, don't want to teach in the classroom. And look how much education has suffered. Look at where we are. The worst test scores we've seen since they've been keeping these records on standardized tests. So it's not a matter of bad teachers. It's a matter of bad policy. It's a matter of unions flexing their muscle with the administration and making demands that they're caving to in the administration. And it's more about the politics and the business of education than it is actual education. Name another industry where you can be doing terrible at your job and demand a raise. And that's what they're doing. They blame a teacher shortage. They blame low pay. They blame a lot of different things. Well, I can tell you, cops aren't getting rich. I can tell you that cops aren't getting rich. But you know what else they talk about with police departments? Oversight and accountability. That's all we keep hearing is about oversight and accountability. So I'm going to say to everyone out there that pays taxes because it's your money, why are we not pushing for this in accountability, saying that we are not seeing the results in education that our children need and deserve? So we are going to advocate for cameras in the classroom so that a parent can watch their child behave or misbehave and handle it and be an aid to the teacher, just like body cameras. Aid when a suspect misbehaves, the courts can see it and it helps a jury. But it also shows when a cop does the wrong thing, and it's going to show when a teacher does the wrong thing. How about we start talking about accountability in education? Maybe that's an answer. Because none of us should stand for this. not because we're angry about ourselves, but because that generation, those students that are now in third and fourth grade that are not reading at grade level, the 13-year-olds that are a part of this test, if you're 13, in 10 years, you're going to be 23, and you may be hired by a company I work for, and you can't read. 10 years is not a long time. Coming up, we've got the statements from the three state universities about vaccine mandates, and we're going to talk about how you can help the family of a fallen deputy. All that's coming up.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. I want to give you an opportunity to win Suns tickets for their home opener. If you want to go to the home opener and win tickets, just text the word Suns to 411-923 for your chance to win. That's Suns to 411-923. It has been a crazy news day. We now know that the three state universities are going to comply with the federal government's mandate that the employees be vaccinated. So all employees and graduates, assistants, and associates are all going to have to be vaccinated by December 8th. Every single one of them, Northern Arizona University, Arizona State University, and University of Arizona have made statements saying that because of the Biden mandates, all employees are going to have to show documentation of vaccines fully vaccinated by December 8th or face losing their jobs. Every one of the universities is saying it's because of the Biden mandates, and every one of them is saying you have to show proof. I'm not going to play it again, but I could, and I should probably play it 20 more times during this nonsense, that this very same White House and key members of the White House, not just one time, but multiple times, have been telling us that the government cannot do this, and they're doing it. You want to hear a real-life fallout? There was Daniel Shulkey is his name. He was a firefighter with the Salt River Pima Indian community. And he was a firefighter there, 38 years old, said he has spent more than half of his life at 38 years old, more than half of his life serving this community as a firefighter, and lost his job because he wouldn't get vaccinated. Here's what he said about that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I always had my questions about the vaccine when it first even started coming out, and did a lot of praying about it and decided that it was in my best interest to just hold out for now and wait to get the vaccine. The vaccine mandate was issued on August 20th, and we were given till the end of September, so September 30th, to comply with either submitting a medical exemption for the vaccine or to receive the vaccine. They didn't give us any option for any religious exemption. So our only option was either the medical exemption or the receiving the vaccine by the end of September.
So here's the first responder that's been fired. And he goes on to say, you know what, it's not just me. I'm not the only one suffering because of this.
With the four of us leaving, there's a lot of staffing issues that go along with that. And so, I mean, they have to take on extra burden and maybe work extra shifts that they weren't planning to that way, because what they do is they call it mandatory holdover. And if we have a short staff, they'll hold someone on a extra day to make sure that the trucks are staffed. So, I mean, it's very taxing for the whole organization as a whole, because it not only affects us, the ones that were terminated, but it has lasting effects for the firefighters that are still there.
The real life fallout of these mandates. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that are happy about mandates, and I don't understand it. If we allow this to happen, it can happen with anything. If we as citizens are saying that the federal government can mandate people inject medicine into their bodies, we're forcing them to get a vaccine, then the government can pretty much make you do anything if it's all, and again, the phrase in the Constitution is the greater good. That's how all of these things happen, because it is such a statement that is so broad. And I don't believe that the founding fathers, I think they were brilliant in how they wrote the Constitution. I don't know that they believed that this would be abused this way. Being fully vaccinated myself, contemplating getting the booster shot, I don't know whether I will or not. Watching the 99% survival rate of COVID-19. And that 99% rate, by the way, is including the highest risk among us, which are the oldest people among us, much younger people, people that fall. Daniel Schulke, this former firefighter, he falls into this group. These are people in the prime of their life. The 20 to 44-year-old age group has a very high number of cases, but they also have a very low number of serious illness and death in comparison. It's a ridiculously low number of people that are dying in that age group, and yet we're making this man choose between his livelihood. A year ago, he was a hero. Now he's looking for work. I want people to think about that. This is a real life fallout of these ridiculous mandates. And I feel for people. I do. And if you're an employee of ASU, U of A, or NAU, I feel for you as well. It shouldn't happen. This should not be happening in America. We are just about out of time. That's what the music means. If you are a social media user, you can find me this weekend on Twitter at Broomhead KTAR. That's my personal account. Or Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. Would love to keep in touch with you when we're not on the air. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.